Marty Thompson, everybody.
Annually, my family tries to do something related to our Scottish heritage. Some years, it's just singing Auld Lang Syne on New Year's, but other times, we go all out. And all out includes trips to the Scottish picnic, the Highland Games, and the Feast of the Haggis. One of my earliest memories of witnessing alcohol abuse happened at one such event. When you're a kid, you hear about people getting drunk, or you see like Homer or Al Bundy stumbling home on TV. But in real life, it could be kind of hard to tell. There was a whiskey tasting going on, and I was walking past it, and a man was at the table with the host explaining how this is Glenfiddich single malt 20-year age scotch. And the man had several empty glasses in front of him already. He takes his final swig and he goes, "That's great!" Boom! Falls over. I was very young. I had no idea what was happening. So, like the Johnny Walker ad says, I kept walking. Another summer, Sarah and I went to the Highland Games. We saw the cute Scotty dogs and the Irish wolfhounds and the hot tossing dudes. And at these events that happen in the middle of summer, people don't care that it's 110 degrees out. They will wear their wool kilts, their tartans, their tall wool socks, the fuzzy sporrans, their vests, and tam o' shanters. And some men will wear their kilts well. Others, it's a little more questionable. Sarah looks across the field and she says, "Ha, check out that guy." And from the back, he's this older guy wearing a kilt, and he had regular like cotton tube socks pulled all the way up. And he had these black gym shoes on and a black tank top. Mostly bald, he kept what little hair he had left pulled into a ponytail. Oh. And then he turned around, and it was my Uncle Harry. So, the Feast of the Haggis is a Chicago-based tradition, bringing together Scots of all ages for a night of bagpipes, fiddle, Scottish dance, and haggis. There's other food, but the main interest is watching people at your table have their first bite of haggis. Prior to serving it, the Toastmaster will recite the Robert Burns poem, Ode to a Haggis. Well, these are my favorite verses. But mark the rustic haggis fed, the trembling earth resounds his tread. Clapping his ample fist to blade, he'll make it whistle. And legs and arms and heads will cut off like the tops of thistles. Ye powers who make mankind your care and dish them out their bill of fare. Old Scotland wants no watery stuff that splash in small wood dishes. But if you wish her a grateful prayer, give her a haggis. Some, like Uncle Harry, will ask for seconds and thirds. Others, like me, will take the smallest bite possible, washing it down with a shot of whiskey given alongside it. In two words, haggis is awful, as once you've had it, you don't quite forget the taste. It is also awful, spelled O-F-F-A-L, referring to the fact that it is made of organ meats, stuffed in a sheep's stomach, and served out of a lacquered ram's skull. It's very metal. The success of the evening is very much based on how well the haggis is prepared by the event staff. And this is tougher than you might think, as I don't believe that they teach how to make haggis in American culinary schools. But this past Friday's dinner was actually pretty decent. It was a little more like corned beef hash rather than dog food, like I'd had before. So I sometimes wonder if I'll pass this interest in genealogy and heritage down to my children. In such a shrinking world, is it even still a viable pastime? People seem to be a lot more interested in where they're going rather than where they came from. But these events keep me coming back year after year. And so, with traditions and memories like these, how can I not pass it on?
Thank you so much.